Okay, you ready?
You're listening to Design Yourself, a podcast to help you figure out what it is that you want and then make it happen. I'm Sharon Lepofsky. Don't you forget, this is my life and it's gonna
be good. Don't you know? Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 56 of Design Yourself. I am your host, Sharon, and today I am joined by a very special guest, my husband, Colin Phillips.
Hello.
Welcome, Colin.
Hey, welcome. Thank you.
I'm curious, Colin, what does it feel like for you to be on this side of the podcast, since you are usually on the audio engineering, which you still will be for this episode, but what's it like to now be on the mic recording?
Well, it's a little interesting because I find myself wanting to worry about the levels and getting in the technical side of things, and it's hard to be thinking, oh wait, I need to actually focus on what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm sure all those guests I've interviewed who've been in the home studio are now thinking, yeah, that's a right.
That's right.
Exactly. Colin's usually in here doing mic tests and making sure everything's squared away when I've got people in the home studio for those recordings. Anyway, well, I'm delighted to have you on this side. I feel, dear listeners, that I should tell you some of the hilarity leading up to getting this podcast up and running to record. So since Colin is my husband, we don't have one of us watching our children while the other one is working on the podcast. We decided the solution for this would be to record either in the evenings or early one morning. Colin is typically a night owl. I'm typically a morning bird. So you will not be surprised to know that it was when there was no other option, the podcast must be recorded to get it live as scheduled, that we were like, all right, well, we'll have to make it work. So we're recording early in the morning. Thank you, Colin, for getting up early for this. And we thought we had gotten up early enough that we should have no problem dealing with children because they should be sleeping. The best laid plans. So we've had all three of our children have woken up so far, and we have gotten two back to sleep, one watching a favorite show now. So here we are.
One dog in a kennel, the other one watching a favorite show.
That's right. So anyway, lots of beings to be. So that no one's worried, it's not my infant son who's watching the show by himself. It's our nearly 5-year-old daughter who feels as though this is very special. She also, just funny aside, as I was coming back up, I had to square something away for her, and she goes, "Mommy, you're using your podcast voice." So that really cracked me up. She's gotten very interested in podcasts. She's heard me cleaning a couple times where she's walked in and there's a podcast on. Like, I was listening to Young House Love has a podcast, a husband wife duo, and you very well may know them. They have a very popular design blog and now a podcast, which is about the same age as Design Yourself. So it's been kind of fun hearing. And anyway, she's now very concerned about, are they my friends? Why aren't they my friends? Where do they live? Well, could we go visit them in Richmond? So there's a lot of the 4-year-old whiness happening around podcasts. And apparently Hedda knows enough about my podcast that she believes I have podcast voice. I don't know if that's true, Colin, if you think I turn on the podcast voice.
Well, you always have there's a special voice for special occasions. And so she knows when mommy's voice changes slight different degrees. And so she caught you in a formal tone of voice, I guess. But it's not really that different from the way you talk. But it was quite funny.
Yeah, I had a good chuckle. Anyway, so I have invited Colin on the show today because we just celebrated our 10-year wedding anniversary. What?
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, this is a big milestone. I can vividly remember when I turned 10 years old. And my dad, who bless him, he would pack our lunches, me and my six siblings, and he would always write on our brown paper bags like, our names, and then underneath of them, very frequently, he would have like a little saying. So let's say I had a soccer game that afternoon. It might say, Sharon is going to have a great game today, or Sharon is this way. So he would always do fun things like that. And I can remember when I turned 10 that he was talking about like hitting double digits. And that was a big deal. And I'm like, wow, we've hit double digits in our marriage. So we're not here to tell you all of the top secrets for how you two can replicate having a fabulous 10-year marriage. But we are going to just reflect on things that we've learned. And certainly for those of you who are in relationships, I think it will be applicable. But I think also just making a commitment to anything that is, you know, not just something that kind of comes and goes, but it's something that's happening over the long term. I feel like having a way that you step back and reflect on it is important. And so hopefully this will help inspire you to do the same. Also, hilariously, now I hear another dog at the door. So maybe we'll play some interlude music for you while Colin goes to put this last dog in a quiet, happy place.
Yes, before he barks and wakes up the other child. Quick, talk.
Before another child wakes up. Next thing you know, the chicken's going to fly out of the backyard. Or
I'm waiting for the next child to wake up will be me.
Well, to hopefully push you that direction. Colin, do you want to start, just since a lot of people who listen don't know you and I, just to share a little bit about how we met before we kind of dive into our reflections on the
being
married.
Sharon and I met at a dismemberment plan. That's a band. It's some people get very concerned if they don't know the band name. It sounds sounds rather dire, but it's an indie rock band out of Washington, D.C., and we met at a dismemberment plan show.
And every one of you who's listening to the podcast has heard at least some of Dismemberment Plan, because they kindly allow me to use their part of their song Following Through in the intro and then the very last outro music that you hear. So
yes, indeed.
Rock on, Dismemberment Plan.
Yeah. And so we met at a Dismemberment Plan show in Gambier, Ohio, while we were at Kenyon. And our friend Brad introduced us quickly, said, "Hey, Sharon, this is Colin. Hey, Colin, this is Sharon." We said, "Hey." And that was about how we met. And then it wasn't until really the next year that we had any substantive interaction.
That sounds so dire. I think what he means is we became friends.
We became friends, but it was sort of
through our substantive interactions.
You know what I mean? It was sort of like, hey, Sharon, how you doing? Oh, hey, yeah, whatever. And then the next year, one of Sharon's dear friends had a mild, although for this friend, there's no such thing as mild, crush. On a friend of mine, and Sharon had a harebrained scheme where she wanted to invite my friend over to go do some stuff so they could hang out with him. And they thought, oh, you know what we need to do is to make him feel comfortable, we'll invite one of his friends. So Sharon approached me about coming along on I was like a skating rink adventure? Was that what it was? I can't remember.
It could have been. We did have a skating rink adventure, and you both were there, so.
Yes. It was some sort of thing like that, which was great. But I just remember very much enjoying Sharon, but at the same time, she has a personality that is, she's very outgoing, and has a confidence that for me at the time was like, oh, you're like all friends with everybody and confident. And I'm like totally not, I'm kind of shy. I don't know. What's the word? Really?
Reserved.
I'm a little reserved. And so I always am like, can I be friends? Am I really friends with this person, or is she just like pretending?
This is funny because it's kind of a similar but different experience I had, where when Colin and I started dating, I remember thinking, oh, this guy actually likes me, because I always felt like he doesn't seem to like anybody. Like there's a lot of bars you have to, I think, especially at that point in time, you had, I don't know, they were just kind of, well, have you,
phony barriers.
Do you like the right music? Yeah, do you like dress the right way? Do you, I mean, and I'm
like, do you listen to Cave In?
Right. You're not, oh, sorry, you don't know you that. Don't, well, so
if you don't listen to hardcore punk,
which I didn't. So
I'm like, who are you? Wait, what is this? And so that's when, you know, it wasn't until I met Sharon that I started to enjoy indie rock that wasn't maybe like one Pavement album that I loved. But other than that, it was like indie rock and some wussy stuff. Although that's ridiculous because Arches of Loaf is one of my favorite bands. But there was something about just with Sharon, that's when I was like, oh, Modest Mouse, this is cool. Like I just had these weird barriers.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we could wax philosophical about all of the things for how we met and our observing one another's quirks, as we've also had a chance to do. But suffice it to say, we've been married 10 years. We
Sorry, course
have...
correction, because I'm a rambler.
No, it's not rambling. Just trying to keep us focused. Yes. This is also the dynamic of our of our relationship. But we've known each other now for over 17 years, dating for or married for over 14, married for 10. Along the way, 3 kids have joined us, 2 dogs, a few chickens. We've bought 2 houses in this time. We've lived in 7 different places, like in 7 different living environments. So we haven't been in different cities all those times, but 7 different apartments or houses we've seen through the course of our relationship. So lots of changes that way. Anyway, so I will kick us off if you like. What Colin and I discussed was, maybe we'll just ask each other questions. We had kind of reflection on, oh, do we want to like come up with the 10 things we've learned? But we thought it would be more fun to keep it more free flowing and just see where it goes. You can be the final judge of what you think. But so Colin, I am curious for you, when you reflect on having just been married for 10 years, what are you most proud of?
What I'm most proud of is just that, I don't want to say even after 10 years because that's silly, but just the fact that we're still best friends and that we have our, you know, there's married business life sort of things that need to be dealt with, and money issues and those things, and that's, you know, the business of being married, but that we're able to sort of put those things, deal with those things, and then sort of put them aside, and then have our conversation about, you know, books that we love or some philosophical issue, just, you know, just like the friends that we were before we started dating, and just that we're able to keep that sides of ourselves integrated into, you know, the what is sometimes completely ridiculous chaos of three kids under five and dogs and houses and all kinds of things that require a lot of moving parts and stressful things and just trying to stay focused on what actually matters.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it one thing that I've always appreciated about our relationship is there is an evenness to it, so that, you know, there's obviously there's deep love and friendship that love is built on, and yet it's not like it's not a dramatic intensity. You know, this is not a Romeo and Juliet type circumstances, and that there's feuding families that are also fueling the passion. And I remember, this is kind of random, I don't even know if I've ever told you this story, but when I studied abroad in Berlin, as you know, I got to study with the poet, former poet laureate, but recent poet laureate at that time, Robert Haas. And I had just read his poetry and studied him at Kenyon College, where we both went the year before. So it was kind of fresh on my mind and so cool to then get to be in the classroom with someone whose work, like great works of art I had read. And there was and I was in Berlin. So a lot of the people in the class were German, and of course, and there was a woman who audited the class, because there must've been an article in the paper about, you know, there's this American poet laureate who's teaching. And this woman who spoke very little English would just come to the class and soak it in. And I met her early on. I think she was trying to understand something that, Bob had said. And so as we were talking, she invited me out to dinner. And so it became this routine where, and she was, I don't know, she's so old, probably, you know, 40. She was kind of like my age-ish now, but you know, as a 20-year-old or 21-year-old, whatever I was then, you know, she was significantly older than me, you know, a full-fledged adult rather than a beginning early adult. And so she would take me out to dinner and I would essentially translate the class for her. And she would often have taken notes. And anyway, so Catherine was her name. And I think she gave me her address, but we didn't stay in touch beyond that year. So it was kind of this whirlwind for a semester. We ate together once a week, had these, and translating the class would turn into these like really philosophical questions. And at some point along the way, she was talking to me about, she was married. I never met her spouse, but she had talked about how, you know, her unsolicited advice she gave me was, you know, you want to marry someone who just loves you to pieces and where it's not overly intense. Like there's no drama behind it. And my, you know, early 20s self was like, what? No, like not that I wanted drama, but like not having the intense, passionate, like, you know, full bodied, like every, you know, every part of you thinking like, oh, this is so amazing. Which is a little bit more, I think, of a crush mentality than like a relationship. But at the time I thought, how strange. And I remember even at the time when we started dating thinking, yeah, like she's right. There's something to having what I now think of as like evenness. There's that creates a really nice foundation for a long-term relationship.
I still love you to pieces though.
Yeah. Me too, hon. Anyway, but you're reminding me of her in that.
Interesting. Oh, and there was the other part of how we met was more than how we met, was how it sort of turned in from being friends. Well, not to, sort of being acquaintances to being really good friends. And I guess it was one night where we just come back for our senior year and we randomly ran into each other at a party where there was beer pong out on the lawn. A very, very classic Kenyan experience. We just started talking and we just kept talking, and then we just walked across campus and kept talking, and then from then until we started dating was just like a closer and closer friendship.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the second half of the... It's not how we met as much as how we ended up getting to that.
Yeah. Kind of becoming really, right, I think, really becoming close.
Yeah.
And we had both just gotten back from being gone for a year. So while we were back at our alma mater, Kenyon, we, you know, we were both kind of new to being back on campus. And I think that was nice. Nice kind of precipitating event for becoming close.
So, Sharon.
Yes, podcast voice Colin.
Podcast voice Colin, yes, hello. So, what has surprised you most about being married to me?
Well, not your weird voices. It doesn't surprise me now 10 years later.
No.
You know, I think one of the things that surprised me most is something that has been an external observation that I've always been like, oh, is this odd? Because while I had kind of fleeting relationships here or there, this, like, you are the one person I've been in a long-term relationship, romantic relationship. And early on, I remember friends, in particular two guy friends of mine, being so shocked that we would still do things by ourselves. So we certainly love and have the best time going off and doing things together. And you've celebrated New Year's in Budapest, you know, with a friend. And I've gone traveling, you know, I drove a smart car across Slovakia with a friend of mine to find ancestral roots. And, you know, we certainly do a lot of things together, and we go off on adventures on our own too. And a lot of people over the years have been surprised by that. I think early on, probably more so, as a lot of our friends, weren't in committed long-term relationships and were thinking, oh, you can have independence and be in a relationship. But even now, when we have many more friends who are married, I think people are still surprised by the way that we do take time for ourselves as well. Anyway, but it always surprised me that people thought that that was odd. And over the years, I've come to appreciate that more and more about kind of the way that we've chosen to set up our relationship. Like you do every year, go on your annual mancation.
Indeed.
This is Colin's high school friends get together, always to go skiing.
Always to go skiing. To not go skiing would be sacrilege.
Yes. So,
we've had it mentioned by one or the other of my friends, spouses, that maybe we should go do something that's not skiing, that's not as far away. And we're like, but we ski. If we don't ski, it's not mancation. It's just getting together with the boys. Like, we have a campcation sometimes too, but that has been less frequent, just because we all have really young kids and that's hard. But
that would be the summer version.
The summer version of mancation.
In last year, over Labor Day, I remember at some point saying, like, could you not even just when there were kids involved, but it's like, man, some of these trips sound really fun. Could the ladies in your life come along for this trip? And that was also sacrilege. But we did last year have famcation, where all the families got together, which was fun, and hung out on a lake and boated around and had a jolly old good time.
Yes, we did. We rented a motorboat, and in the middle of the water, my knee hit the key and broke it off in the lock. So we were driving at full speed.
Yeah, that did happen.
Full speed in the lake with a motorboat with no key. So I had to find the key and, like, stick it in the lock and jimmy it to turn it back off. It was hilarious.
And I'm still married to this guy. Okay, so another question for you. I'm curious if you think about eras of our marriage, like one easy one for me, just to give an example of what I mean, is I always think about the fact that we've, especially coming in celebrating 10 years, that we've had kind of the before kids and the after kids era. And that happens to be halfway through our marriage. So our daughter is almost five. So we had kind of the first part of our marriage where, no kids, footloose, fancy free.
So that's the time when we did things like go to Budapest or Berlin or Slovakia without the other.
Yeah. It would be much harder for me to imagine doing that now. Although not, but, and
it's not that we wouldn't impossible. Do it. It's just that we don't, it's not that we wouldn't do it as much as that we don't really want to. I mean, we would want to take, you know, we want to take the kids and give them experiences, and I don't know, there's part of the odd thing about when you have children, you can do things like get a babysitter and go out drinking and get crazy, but sometimes I just rather hang out with my kids. Like, I just don't really want to do that all the time. We had a nice time on our 10-year anniversary, which was a few days ago, and that was very fun because we planned it, we looked forward to it, and we went out, we had some drinks at the bar and talked, and it was great. And then we had a very fine dinner, and it's just, it's always fascinating the, when you can get into those, your normal selves, you know, what happens when you get away from all that, like the business of the marriage or the life, and you just talk. And that's why those times are important. It's not the getting out and getting crazy. It's just sitting together and being able to talk about things. Mm-hmm. Sorry, did you ask me a question?
Somewhere along Sorry, along I the just road. Get,
I pontificate.
That is true. It's true. Colin pontificates, and I'm like, and now back to our focus. So what do you feel like you've learned about, you know, being, I'm curious kind of what you've learned about when you're committed to something over the long term. So not necessarily about like, what have you learned about married life or making a marriage work, but being committed to something that is happening, you know, forever, right? There's not like an end point in that you're working towards. There's no graduation.
I think the main thing I've learned is taking a breath. Is that you can't react to everything. And you have to, as uncomfortable as it is sometimes, you have to let it rest and come back to it. Because sometimes, you know, if you get it, if you have a conflict or something in life, you think, okay, well, we'll deal with this somehow. We'll have a blow up and then storm off. But first of all, that's just not very productive. but second of all, I think what you learn is that's just going to make everything, it's not going to make anything better. And that the best way to handle it is to say, okay, I received that. We'll just let it rest for a minute and come back, calm down, talk about it. And I just think that it's sort of in that same vein of the no drama thing. You're just adding drama where there doesn't need to be drama, you know, and just saying, let's take a step back, let's regroup and keep going. Because the ride's not, you know, you're not looking at an end point. I mean, at some point there's an end point, right? But hopefully not for a long time.
Hear, hear.
And just that the little things do matter. I mean, obviously, but it's sort of, you know, the little moments of kindness are incredibly important, because that's how you have to keep things new, and you can't just assume, just because someone's there, you can't just assume that they know, they can read your mind all the time. And I think we have, where we sometimes we have to stop and say, wait, you couldn't read my mind? Because I'll get three steps ahead and I'll think that Sharon knows what I'm talking about. Like, sometimes I'll be listening to the radio and it'll be blah, 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 stuff happening. And I'll be like, can you believe that, Sharon? And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, that thing and the thing, the radio. She's like, well, I wasn't listening to the radio. I'm like, what do you mean you weren't listening? You weren't inside my head?
Yeah, that we actually had a, it would have been, it was when Hedda was really little. So it would have been around having been married for, you know, 5 years. And we worked with my coach at the time, who's was on episode 50, Sue McLeod. And we, and I had asked her to come in and do for the course of a day, a visioning retreat for us. And when she came in to do the retreat, we had structured it, I think, smartly, so that we did a couple hours in the morning where we were talking about transitioning, and we had done some visioning work on our own together up front. So kind of bringing that in, and then we had blocked time where we could have a couple of hours where she was going to run a webinar and do things on her own. And we went out to lunch in our neighborhood and just took a walk. And I can still remember coming back from Red Rocks and Columbia Heights, walking around the neighborhood, coming down 10th Street, and having this moment of, oh, yeah, like, we're not mind readers. But when you do something, anything for so long, and in our case, when it was being married to one another for so long, you can take for granted that the other person obviously sees things the same way as you, or is entering into the conversation with the same inputs. And yet that's not true, you know, and that was a major, I think, at least for me, like a major switch point of like, oh, and I need to, like, if I'm holding a certain context that I am believing is important coming into a conversation, I need to say that to you out loud. And then I know that we're on the same page. And so that was a major shift. And the other major shift, I'll say, because I feel like that was such a great experience for us going through this visioning process, is that we realized we needed to be making promises that we were holding to each other. And in some ways, I can imagine people being like, duh, isn't that what you did when you got married 5 years before you ever had that conversation? And you're right. And just because you've had the conversation once doesn't mean that you can take it for granted. And I think because you and I think do have a tendency to, like, we value our family so much, extended family, the, you know, it's very easy for us to go with the flow and do what other people are doing. And if we were really going to prioritize what do we as a couple want to do, or we as our new family unit want to do, that we actually had to say it out loud and make that commitment and honor it and follow through on it. Or we were likely to just go with the flow and be happy to get blown in the direction that other people were running, which oftentimes can be nice and fun. And it doesn't, if you have something specific that you want to go after and realize, for us, I think we realized we needed a little bit more direction.
In the last couple of years, we've started to try to take a just the Filofsky family, as we sometimes call our unit,
yes,
on little fall adventures where it's just us. And so we're not doing we're not going on vacation with extended family, which is always wonderful, but sometimes obviously you need to have time with just your family, and it's really been a lot of fun just getting out to different places with the kids. And you can, like, our daughter is very, she has very fond memories of the time. And it's interesting because it's not, like, often with family vacation, she'll be saying, oh, that was so fun because we got to see, you know, I don't want to just, if I say names, it's going to start, you know, cause a thing. So, you know, Aunt so-and-so or Uncle Blow, whatever, you know, Grandma X or Grandpa Y. And the focus is on seeing those family members, and that's great. And then the things that they did. And all. But when we go on these just us family adventures, it's interesting the way that she talks about it is not in that context as much as, like, when we went to the house with the little bed. There was a house that had a toddler bed. It was the house with the little bed. And then there was this crazy creature, robot creature, and he was called the astronaut.
Oh, yeah. For
some inexplicable reason. I guess he looked like an astronaut, but he was some weird robot dude. Crazy looking. And so she remembers different things about those trips, and I think that's really... Those are really fun times.
Yeah. Hey, I remember what that question was that I asked you that you never answered. Since it's carouseling. Yeah. Yes. So there's before kids and after kids, but do you have other phases? Yeah.
So there's the phase when the pre-marriage phase, when we were just spirals of stress with wedding planning, which, you know, that's, right, that's typical. And then there's the coming back as newlyweds from Costa Rica. And when we got back from Costa Rica, we went right into the blissful newlywed phase where we decided, okay, this car we've had... No, getting a new one. Got a new car. Same day, we picked up our little puppy, Dwight.
Yeah, drove probably 5 hours. Like, we had to drive down there, and then
Stanton, Virginia, or something.
And then drive back. Yep, in our new car.
Put a couple miles on it that day.
That is so classic us.
And then yes, it is. So then there's the that's our first baby, and had him for a couple of years. What was it? 4 years before we got?
Yeah, almost five.
And then 4 or 5 years later, we got Ernest, who's our other puppy. And then, like, the next year, I think, or
A year later,
that's when we had Henrietta. So it's there are the phases broken up by where we lived. So I remember when with Dwight, our first dog, we'd go to the dog park a lot, and that was, you know, that was the excursion with, you know, the baby. And with Ernest, we did some dog parking, but he was just a wild dude, and it just didn't really work. But so there's sort of like that first phase where we lived in Alexandria, in Old Town Alexandria, in Virginia. And then there was the living in the city, buying a house, going through that whole experience of looking for a house and looking at 250 houses?
Yeah, just so we have an amazing real estate agent in Washington, D.C., if anyone needs agent contact information. But yeah, it was the era of the first time home buyers tax credit. Prices had, it was after the bubble of the early 2000s. And so, you know, prices were coming down again and were more reasonable. And so there were, and DC was hot. So many people were coming into the city, and we didn't look at 250 properties because we were picky. We wrote, I think, 8 or 9 house offers in that time. It was just really competitive, to get in and get a house. So anyway, yes, we did. And we did look at 250 properties. You know, I want to say, one of the things that's hitting me hearing you describe the eras of, you know, the time we lived in Old Town and kind of hearing you describe it through the lens of as creatures entered our life, you know, new members of our family. The thing that's hitting me is how different it is than how I think about eras. Like, as you're describing, I'm like, oh yeah, right. That, like, things did change as we were kind of flexing and adapting and new. And yet for me, I was immediately thinking of things like the different jobs I was in,
right? Yeah,
and how things jobs. Evolved that way. Or, but all this to say, I think no matter what, it's kind of a cool exercise that I could imagine anyone going through with someone you're working with, whether it's a business partner or, you know, a good friend, maybe it's or a mentor, but to be able to go through and talk about how you have kind of seen the experience of being in relationship to one another, being in service to one another over time, because again, we're not mind readers. People see things differently. And I'm just appreciating that as I hear you describing it.
Well, that's just one lens. I mean, you can look at, it's like the demographic maps or something. You
know, yeah.
Look at the things about when I was in grad school and I was out in for 3 years, I was going to Fairfax every night and working all day and then going out and getting home at 11 and then going back to work the next morning. And that was the whole era. And I mean, it's cliche sometimes to talk about, oh, this is before kids and this is before kids, but obviously kids completely changed the equation. So there's just there's the time when you're thinking about, you know, career and you're thinking about, you know, house and you're thinking about things and experience and those things. And then when the kids come along, suddenly there's these more elemental discussions of, you're thinking about what's the quality of life. And I mean that bigger than it usually is meant, I think. Like the,
yeah.
Then you start to think about things that are a little harder to figure out. Like it's, you can look at what chair you like better, which one's designed better. I'm like, oh, that's, I like this better. Okay, let's get that chair. But when it comes to things with children, you're like, well, where should we send them to school? Like, when is it more important to have this type of educational experience? And what kind of educational experience do we want? And is it important to spend the resources now on this era of child care, or is it more important to spend it later, and where is the best place for them to be? And so it's there's a lot of these, we're finding a lot of these issues are not, they're not the easy solutions. Not that the other ones are easy, it's just they're not as clear cut with evidence. You can't make evidence-based decisions as easily. You just have to, there's a lot more improvisation of putting things together, and it's complicated.
And I feel like you have to find a way to appreciate being in the complications.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as somebody who likes to get to an endpoint and, you know, and reach the goal and achieve something, you know, get, like, what's that thing that we got to? One of the, I think, ways I've had to flex and adapt over time in being in a marriage, and I think exacerbated with having children, is that you have to appreciate and enjoy the things as they're happening. You have to enjoy them when they're messy. You have to say, hey, and that's not just messy because our rooms are toys everywhere with children throwing things around, but really, like, you know, it can also be with your job. It can be with a friendship. Like, life is going to be messy. And if you're not in it and really present to what's happening, then, and you only kind of tune in with clarity when you hit the next goal, then it's a very small fraction, I think, of your life that you're actually appreciating and having fun. And at least for me, I notice that I feel more alive and feel happier and more fulfilled, which is, for me, the thing I'm always after is fulfillment, like, and being present and enjoying those things as they're unfolding is, I think, a big, big part of that.
So if you had to sum up our marriage in 5 words, what would they be? Doesn't have to be words. It can be anything. Units of speech.
Okay. How would I sum up our relationship with 5 somethings? Laughter. The color blue. Adventure. Home. Exploration.
Cool.
What are your 5 words or somethings, units of speech?
Units of speech.
Please tell me your 5 units of speech now.
Good food. Silliness. Vision. Family. And West Wing.
Oh, so good. Well, my last question for us is, I want to know, 10 years from now, when we're celebrating our 20th anniversary, knocking on wood, what do you want to be celebrating? Like, what will we be celebrating 20 years from now?
Lots more fun. Figuring out the greatest schools for our children, which maybe isn't about our relationship as much.
That's okay. It doesn't have to be.
And just keeping it fun and keeping it interesting. And it's very interesting because the child is about to walk in right now.
Henrietta, do you want to say hi on the podcast? We're just finishing. You want to say hi in the microphone? Well, you're going to come up on my lap. All right, we have a new guest, Henrietta. You want to say hi?
What are you looking forward to in the next 10 years, Hedda?
I'm looking for a parent to help me turn on the next movie because it wasn't coming on.
Well, and that's vision for you, that's everybody.
Vision. That's more like the next 10 minutes than the next 10 years.
And that's just perfect. Well, Henrietta, I'm going to send your father to help you with that, and I will wrap things up.
Well, there's one... Before we go, I don't know if we wanted to talk about advice or the one piece of advice.
Sure.
But I don't know. I'm curious what you would say if you were asked... What's that one piece of advice?
I think it is, like what I was just saying.
Mommy?
Yes?
Can I speak on the speaker?
Yeah, you are speaking on the speaker.
Mommy?
On the microphone. Mm-hmm.
Why did it come in the mail?
Why did the microphone come in the mail?
Yeah.
Because that's how I ordered it. Do you remember, did it come in a little package or a big package? That big? You're showing me with your hands? Would you call that little or big?
I would call it, if it was this size and I had many more hands on top, it would be big.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is how I'm showing you big.
I love it.
My hands are straightened out and next to each other. That means that it's big.
Yes. Very cool.
Awesome.
Daddy, can you send that?
I will send myself down.
Yes.
But but before I go, I just wanted to... My one piece of advice when people ask me, when I'm in the office and people are getting married or whatever, I mean, the first thing I say when people are freaking out about their wedding and all this stuff is, I'm like, don't worry, the party's not for you. So enjoy it and have fun, but don't stress too much about it because... It's for your family and not for you. But the other thing I always tell people is, and I think someone told me this advice, and I think this is the advice that stuck with me the most, is just to say thank you all the time for everything. Like say thank you for pulling her hair. Sorry, Henrietta. but just to say thanks for taking out the trash, or thanks for doing that thing that normally you would just say, oh, great, is that done? But I find that it's incredibly important. And with that, I'm going to go turn on a new television show for my daughter.
And before you go, Colin, thank you for joining the podcast. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Darla.
And I have one last thing.
Oh, Henrietta has one last thing.
Daddy is a snoot smack. No. Daddy is a snoot smack Pinkie Pie cake.
Oh my word. Who can believe that? Thank you, Henrietta.
So that I can eat my daddy.
And I will say, is that one piece of advice I have is that is different is don't worry if you have to let go of things as I will do with coming back to that train of thought, you know, where there was an interruption and had emerged and you know, you got to go with the interruptions and that's okay too. So thank you as ever for joining. It is my great privilege to be hosting this podcast and super fun to have Colin on today. If you are interested in learning more about what I'm up to outside of the podcast, you can head over to pointroadstudios.com. You can subscribe there to join our mailing list, which is how you can stay up to date on new things happening in the podcast, upcoming interviews. I've got some cool events that are going to be coming up in the near future. So if you're interested in that, certainly head over to the podcast and subscribe on pointroadstudios.com. And big thanks to the Dismemberment Plan for letting me use Following Through as the intro-outro music. Big thank you to Colin, not just for being on the show today, but for making the show happen every week with his audio engineering. And of course, to all of you for listening. The show does not happen if you are not on the other end of the speaker. And with that, I will say, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful, most beauteous week as you move forward into this great month of August. And until next time, remember, there is nothing stopping you. So go on ahead and get after whatever it is that you really want.